Welcome to the Six Again podcast, your new destination for all things NRL. Here to bring you everything from team news to best bets are your hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Mutton. Let's kick off.
Hello and welcome into the Six Again podcast. This is our round three preview for the 2021 NRL season. Really hope you enjoyed last episode. We felt like it was one of our most enjoyable episodes yet, so we're ready to crack on to this one. And I'm in a really good mood because I got to mow the lawn of my new place for the first time since we've been here over 2 weeks. So it's been raining nonstop. And now instead of long grass, I have short grass covered in muddy tire tracks. But it's an improvement, so I'm happy. That's dad life. What makes you happy, well, Jared? Getting free alcohol off your customers. Clients, sorry.
I am getting a puppy tomorrow.
Okay, not what I expected you to go with.
Yeah, I'm getting my new puppy tomorrow.
Is this the Border Collie Kelpie cross?
No, it's a purebred Border Collie.
Oh, in a yard that's like 3 by 3 meters?
Yes, but there are plans to buy a new house.
Oh, there's plans. And I like it.
And the dog actually fits my hand.
Oh, pup. Wow.
Pup.
Did you have smudge since he was a pup?
Yep. I've had smudge since he was a puppy. I got him at 8 weeks, and tomorrow will be 8 weeks we've already named it Nova. So, yeah, she'll be coming into the house tomorrow night.
So if I come around to your house anytime in the next few months, it's going to smell like dog pee.
No, because we're actually going to train it properly.
Oh, good. Yeah, we forgot to
Smudge was only 2 days potty trained. It took us that long to get him trained.
That's quicker than my son.
Border Collies are smarter than Smudge, so I'm imagining by the end of the weekend he'll be sorted.
Sweet. Anything else going on? I saw sunshine today.
I did not.
I forgot. Atticus was so excited. No, there was sun in Gympie.
Nah, not on my end.
Yeah, right.
And I wasn't in Gympie today. I was in Tincan Bay.
Oh, okay, cool. We're just talking about a place on the sunny coast. Yes, we are out of Queensland, Sunshine Coast, Australia. I think I did that in a reverse order. But anyway, ready to kick on?
Yep.
All righty, let's jump into Off the Ruck, where we chat about everything happening off the field before we get into our team preview. All
right.
So we're going to kick off with two medical stories. We're going to get to the Bronx and Cherry one second, but first one, this will be a bit boring, but it is really important to all clubs involved. The NRL has completed a complete review and restructure of their medical department. So for the last 6 years, the NRL has had a chief medical officer by the name of Dr. Paul Bloomfield. He'll be stepping down and going back to his role as a sport and exercise physician, but still working in rugby league. And moving forward, the NRL is going to have a medical advisory panel. So instead of having one overall panel chair, basically, there'll be a panel of professionals. Dr. Paul Bloomfield, the man's been in charge for the last 6 years, is a big push behind the HIA protocols being brought in. And there's a thank you, he said, to all 16 clubs, but he's had a really big hand in player safety over his time in the NRL and the 24 years or so before that in rugby league. But that's a pretty big change, and they will be working with all 16 clubs basically on the latest research and all that sort of stuff, and about whether HIA protocols and injury prevention, all that sort of stuff's working. So a bit of a change behind the scenes, but no less important. Talking about medical, Bronson Cherry has been suspended for 4 years. So this is going to take him through to November 2023, backdated to November 25th, 2019. So Bronson Cherry was caught with steroids in his system, and this got taken up to the anti-doping tribunal and was headed by Honourable Ian Callanan QC. So top brass in Australian courts. Basically, the damning evidence here was that he knowingly took a substance that was either banned or that there was serious risk that it was banned, and that Mr. Sherry's actions were, on his own evidence, at best grossly negligent. So basically he took roids knowing that there's a high chance that they were going to be banned and decided it was a risk worth taking, and that if he wanted to be an NRL player, it obviously wasn't.
Yeah. So he was doing everything right to the everything right as an NRL yep. player. He's playing well. And yeah, it's just
dumb.
He blew it. And look, he's young enough to come back, because when he comes back, he'll be 24, 25. So he might get a chance. If Jared Mullen can at 32, I think someone will pick up Sherry eventually.
What was Sandor Earl? How old was he?
He was about 26, 27 when he got caught, and he came back about 30.
And neither of them have done a...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, even though he's young, like, that's to his advantage, but still a huge thing getting back in shape, getting back in, and then also the education that whatever club picks him up will make him go through, even though he's probably done it for the 4 years.
He's the one teaching it these days.
Oh, really?
Nah, Sandor Earl did a lot. He during his ban.
No, I mean Bronson Sherry.
Oh, no, sorry. He probably will eventually teach it. But I just know for a fact, Sandor Earl, during his ban, done a lot to help out. Yeah. And honestly, I don't think he could have played for Melbourne without that back, like without that stuff coming through.
True. His was cocaine, wasn't it?
So, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. I can't remember, but. Yeah.
Anyone that was holding on to Sherry in their fantasy team waiting for this announcement, yeah, get rid of him. Oh, anyway, moving on to some good news. So announcement today that Tani Norris will be the head coach for the women's State of Origin team moving forward. She replaces Jason Hetherington, who chaired the women's team to victory in the one game last season. And Tani Norris didn't waste any time in pushing for a three-match series for the women starting as early as next year. And just a bit of background on Tani, she's the most capped Jill LaRue in history with 32 test caps. She represented Australia at 4 World Cups, 4 All-Star Games, and she's got a bit of an odd record when it comes to State of Origin, 5 games for New South Wales and 13 games for Queensland. So... Right. When the women's State of Origin started, it was similar to what the men's State of Origin was before.
Oh, right.
Came down to residency rules, and they had different set of criteria, thank you, to meet depending on which state. So very highly experienced. She's been the Burley women's coach for the last 6 seasons, winning 5 premierships. So there was a large number of applicants for the job, but she was chosen based on her coaching record and her involvement in women's footy. And an awesome thing, this will be the first time in women's State of Origin where there'll be a female coach for both teams, as the New South Wales coach is Kylie Hilder, an ex-Australian touch football player, also an ex-NRLW player who actually played in last year's series at the age of 44 as a late call-up. Due to an injury. She was the hooker for the Roosters, and her assistant coach will be Jeff Tuvey for the one-off game this year. So, yeah, first time we'll see women head coaches matching off against each other at NRLW/Origin level. So this will be really good.
Yeah, so it's good representation. And, look, I hope they get the 3-game series. I hope they travel with the men and beat the curtain raisers. That'd be
brilliant.
Yeah, that'd be good for them, good for the game. And there's no negatives to that. Look, I've been to Origin games, and I was not remotely interested in watching under 16s play. I'd be more interested in watching the women's play. Than
yeah, they're good matches. They're good to watch. And there's some absolute talent on show in both sides. I 100% agree. Having them as the curtain raisers, I'd get there to definitely watch that. League's one of the sports where the women's game, obviously there's aspects of it that aren't as high the men's with regards to like top level speed, top level strength, but the intensity and the passion and the skill work with regards to some of the ball playing is just as good. So I really enjoy watching the women's game. I remember watching this year's or last year's series at a pub down in Brisbane with Benny, and it was brilliant. There was actually a fair crowd watching it. So that's really awesome news for for rugby league all around. This one's not a big story, but it's kind of a weird one. So with Shanel Harris-Tavita out for looking at 4 to 5 months for the Warriors, Sean O'Sullivan will be stepping up into the halfback role for the Warriors, an off-season recruit from the Brisbane Broncos. Now, Peter O'Sullivan is the head of recruitment at the Warriors, and he's now tasked with finding another halfback slash hooker. With Carl Lawton being signed by Manly last week, a week before, Shanel Harris-Tavita being out, there's only Paul Turner as the next backup halfback slash hooker. So if Sean O'Sullivan or Cody Nikorima or Wade Egan get hurt, they've got only one person left in their system to replace them. So Peter O'Sullivan, depending on who he brings in, might actually bring in someone who will then take his son's job. So
yeah,
a bit of an odd set of circumstances there for both Sean and Pete to deal with, but I guess they each both just have to do their job and whatever happens, happens. I'm excited to see Sean get another run. And this one, if he stays injury-free, should be an extended run, knowing that Shanel's out for a fair period of time, and it's through an injury, not a form-based decision. So he'll get a good look. And it'll be interesting to see if he plays well, what it'll be like at the end of the rehab period for
Shanel. Well, he's got a lot of he's got a lot of raps on him for a few years now, actually, because he's at the Broncos for a while and he kept pushing. And then he went to the Roosters and he came close there. Now he's at the Warriors. He finally gets a debut. I'm curious how old he actually is, because
he's played at the top level. He just hasn't had the extended run.
Hasn't he? Has he? Okay.
Pretty sure he has. You look up the
stats. I'm just looking up now.
We'll keep looking down here. So he's obviously a different playing style to Harris-Tavita. They're both left foot kickers.
Okay, yep. So he played
ball carrier.
Sorry, played 3 games in 2020.
Yeah.
5 games in 2019, 1 game in 2018, and nothing in 2017. Okay.
So the experience like of being on the field and all that sort of stuff will be there. He's not going to get fazed by that, but this will be the first time we see him for a whole
bunch
of games.
He's 22, 83 kilos. So he's got some size about him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, no, he's got some raps on him. Hopefully, yeah, as Adam said, he gets a decent run and you're going to have to see what he wants like to do. And he's got no excuses. He's got a hell of a four pack in front of him now.
Yeah. So it's good. The difference, though, will be the playing style, where Shanel Harris-Tavita likes to run the ball. Sean O'Sullivan's more of an organizing playmaker. So maybe Cody Nikorima will be running even more than he was already. So it'll be interesting to watch. Warriors are already an interesting team to watch this year, and this will just add to it. And last off-field story before we get to signings is the Andrew Fifita situation at Cronulla. So this is the third week in a row, when we get to the teams later, that Andrew Fifita has been named in the reserves, so not even in the interchange. He's not injured. He's been training the house down from teammates. He's looking fit, etc. He just can't force his way into the Sharks pack as it stands. And I believe he's told teammates that he just wants to play first grade. He just wants to get back to playing at the top level. Dragons are looking for another middle forward, with Cam McInnes obviously getting injured. And just basically stockpiling talent and size in their engine room. Now, there's been no official move from St. George towards Cronulla, and they haven't received anything with regards to release papers or anything like that from Fifita. The big sticking point here is obviously his wage. So Fifita's on $800,000 a season this year and next year, which is a huge amount of money to be paying someone who is in reserve grade, or being named in the reserve, sorry. Now,
yeah, but in saying that too, money shouldn't dictate your selection.
No, it shouldn't. But I'm just saying it's a lot of money that Sharks are paying out. Like, it's obviously hurting their salary situation. But, yeah, yeah. If form doesn't warrant the coach, does, that's not the coach's issue. The coach picks the best team. So Sharks have
paid a new coach.
Months. Yeah, Sharks have paid 5 months of his salary already for this season. So if they were to split the wage 50-50 from now till the end of 2022, that'd cost each club $635,000. So it's still a fair bit of cash. Dragons be stumping up, and still a lot of money that Sharks be paying for someone who's then not on their books at all. But I guess that's $635,000 spread out over the next year and a half. If you add Bronson Sherry into that, the fact the Sharks no longer have to pay his wage and the Sharks can get Fifita off their books, they'll have about $500,000 to spend going into the August 1st trade deadline. This is also on the premise that Sharks are working on a salary cap that's $300,000 less than every other club due to previous salary cap breaches. So if the Sharks could do this, if there's a push made from St. George, I don't see the Sharks putting up any barriers of getting him out the door. That $500,000 before the August 1 deadline could come in, could be pretty handy, depending on what they do with Matt Moylan at the end of this season. He's off
contract. Yeah. So, I mean, I've been pretty critical for Fifita. I do think a change could do him good. I don't think Dragons is the right spot, to be honest. They just signed Molo. They've got a few very good young forwards coming through. Josh Kerr, Fulia Maiono. They've still got Paul Vaughan.
I was about to say Jacob Host, but he's already gone to the Rabbits.
They've got, and yeah,
Jackson Ford. That's what I was thinking.
Jackson Ford, that's one. They've got some very good forwards. I think they'd have signed Alvaro as well.
Yeah, Alvaro's
there. Sorry?
He's already there.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't think going to the Dragons with their perceived culture, what I believe their culture is at Flash, is going to help. But in saying that too, whatever team he goes to, if he does leave Dragons, I can't wait for that game where he plays against the Sharks, no matter who he plays for. Do you remember a couple of years ago when he got dropped and he tried to fight Jim Dimmick when he scored a try? He got benched and he called out his coaches. This guy's getting put to reserve grade, and you don't think that's calling out that's going to take it way worse? I can't wait for.
Is that when he? That's when he pointed up to the box. Yeah. Where he scored a try. Eh?
Yeah, and that was only because he got benched early because he wasn't pulling his weight in the middle. Yeah. Imagine getting churned the door by the Cronulla. How's he going to hold on to that one? Like, yeah,
that's
a
brilliant.
Jesus Christ!
I didn't even think about that. All right, so players at St. George now. You just say yes or no. Would you pick Fifita over this person? Blake Laurie.
No.
Jackson Ford.
Yes.
Josh Kerr.
No.
Daniel Alvaro.
Yes.
Tyrell Fuimeono.
No way in hell.
I'll say no to Paul Vaughan as well. Just wait on. There was another one I had in my head.
Trent Merrin, no.
That.
So, look, he does make their...
Tariq Sims.
Yes, I hate Sims more than I hate Fifita.
This isn't about hate.
It is.
That's who I was thinking of. Pouassa Farmasili.
Nah.
All right, so the two people that you would pick him over, only one is in their starting 17, which is Daniel Alvaro. Jackson Ford's in the reserves. Merrin, Farmasili, Fuimeono, Kerr, Vaughan, Laurie are all in their starting squad. So,
there's
a bench spot there.
My thoughts on Cronulla, like, I put him over Woods. I'd also put him over Tolman in the Cronulla team.
Yeah, so would I.
Exactly. So there's something else going on. And you know what? Full credit to John Morris for not letting Wage pick his team. what he believes the best 17 going out there picking his team.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have said recently that John Morris is a bit soft because, oh, he played with most of these players when he did play, or they're coming through the ranks, or yada, 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 because he's such a young coach. He has got a pair about him because the most volatile guy to drop in that squad, he's told him, nah, you're not playing yet, mate. You're not good enough.
And he's taken the Sharks to the finals both years that he's been there.
Yeah, but I reckon he's the most under pressure. I really like John Morris as a coach.
And you look at the Sharks, their record already this year, 1-1, but that loss to the Raiders was a two-pointer. And they should have won with them missing 3 out of 4 kicks. So it's not like they've started poorly. They beat the Dragons handily, and then they went down to one of the premiership heavyweights in Canberra. So it's not like they started the season
poorly. I've said it all along. They have got a really good team. Like I will say they're probably, don't quote me on this, but I would say that they're close to the oldest team in the roster as per average. But look, experience is key. Like Wade Graham, I still rate is close to the best second row on the comp. What he can do is just epic. So don't count out the Dragons this year. Not at all. Sharks this year. Yeah, not at all.
All right, so this kind of brings us into the signing section. Now, we mentioned last week that Reece Walsh has signed with the Warriors on a three-year deal starting next year. So he's one of the very highly rated outside backs or fullbacks that's in the Broncos system. So he's actually requested a release immediately to join the Warriors from this year. Obviously, the Warriors want this to happen so he can be under the tutelage of Tua Vasicek for the rest of this season. Broncos have no... There's no need for the Broncos to do this, so we'll see how this goes.
Well, hold up. Remember, he's not on an NRL contract. He's only on a development contract. Which, for me, if I was the Broncos, I'd be like, go, we'll bring someone up else. Give them the experience.
You could do, but you're also then giving another club a season head start with a recruit.
He's on a development contract. The point is that development. You're supposed to be planning for the future with this bloke. He signed somewhere else. Hey, that's not guaranteeing your future. That's just being stubborn.
Yeah, it'd be an absolute low ball play. But again, there's literally no development contract costs almost nothing, and they could literally just sit him off to the side for the rest of the season.
But that's just wait. That's just not giving another guy. I would hold on to it more if it wasn't. If it was a guy in the top 30, but this guy's the 30 to 33 or whatever the hell it is, development deals.
Mm-hmm.
So they're potentially losing another young fella by being stubborn and holding on to him because they could upgrade a 17-year-old, 18-year-old to a development contract who Reece Walsh is ahead of.
Yeah.
And give it to him, which is another year for this bloke to learn. But if they keep on Reece Walsh, it's another year for someone to pick up this young bloke because they keep him Reece Walsh.
Yeah, right. Good point.
I reckon it's a hot... If Broncos don't let him go and it's because they believe everyone's picking off their talent and they're trying to be stubborn and go, no, we're going to hold him to our contract, that's just dumb by them. That means other people have opportunities to pick off their young talent.
Yeah, cool. All right. I like it. The other one that Broncos are just worried about at the moment is, I want to get his name right here.
Brendan Picara.
Brendan, that's it. I couldn't think of the first name. Picara, who has recently done a tour down at Belmore in the coaching facilities. Has talked to Trent Barrett supposedly on a number of occasions. And supposedly the Bulldogs have tabled a three-year deal, which we talked about last podcast. Titans have also have interest on a two-year deal, and the Broncos are now putting together a three-year deal to match or beat Bulldogs deal. So he's due to meet Kevin Walters today. No details have come out as of yet from that meeting, but yeah, this is Broncos scrambling basically to hold on to another one of their highly rated youngsters.
Me and Adam are talking about this. Yeah, me and Adam were talking about this before podcast. The amount of people who used to call up, and this is elite talent, used to call up the Broncos and ask for a contract. And now everyone's scrambling. I've had a very soft spot for Broncos this year that I've even picked him in my top eight at the start of the year, which Adam was very, very critical of. But
I'm not the only one.
Yes, I got a lot of hate for that. I was filthy at them because this is... Sorry, this is not something I'm soft on them about. For the last 30 years when they've been in the comp, they have dictated Queensland. They have had the whole Queensland talent and they've picked up. That's how they won six premierships in that period. I don't care what anyone said. They had so much talent at their disposal. Now they're losing it all. I think it's absolutely great. And I'm still filthy at him for having a go at Newcastle, for trying to sign Andrew Johns back in 2003 because they had the whole Queensland and he still went after my bloke. So I'm still filthy at him that. So suck shit, Broncos fan, if you lose all your young talent. You deserve it for trying to get Andrew Johns.
That's entirely Jared's point of view, just throwing it out there. But
you don't find it funny that Broncos, all their young talent jumping out.
My club's nicknames are Silver Tails and it still sticks around, and I'd say
that was 90 to 95. I don't even understand that. You guys are the
poorest. I was about to say 80% of people who say that don't even know what it actually refers to or what it means. Like, so
you guys
then supposedly.
You guys don't even have a training base. You guys get a text message in that morning. Oh, sorry.
It's being built right now. Thank you.
Yeah. So what? So if no one understands what happens at Manly, they wake up in the morning, they don't know where they're going. So they get a text message. Hey, mate, you have to come to one of four training fields we have. That's how bad your facilities are. And that's when I love when, you know, two generations before mine and Adam's, like the 60, 50 and 60 year olds or whatever you want to call them, yell out Silver Tails and all this shit because they are the poorest NRL, they're the most least funded NRL club in the entire competition. It's so bad.
Just because we lease our ground from the local council. And four training areas is about keeping them on their toes, keeping them fresh, different scenery, all that sort of stuff. A
couple years ago, Adam tried to get me to come down to Manly during the off season, and he's like, "Do you know what we can do? We can rent Brookvale over for like $10. Yeah, you guys are essentially the cheap whore of the NRL.
Didn't you see the water feature they put in last weekend? There was a post from a chick that was there on Twitter of just the water cascading down staircases.
Yeah. I just love Adam's bargaining was, let's go to Brookvale and over and pay to stand on the middle of it just because.
Full strength beers for $5 served out of an Esky, mate. Come on. The footy's about. Yeah. None of this huge line stuff. Jeez. I've paid my money to get in here. I don't want to be standing in line. I want to watch footy. Bloody hell. Shut up. It's worked for us until.
Suck shit, Manly. You know what? I love it. It's old school, but it's bad. It's bad for this day and age. When everyone's got multi-million-dollar training facilities, these guys have got like
next local season. Next season when ours is finished, we'll have the most elite and up to date. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but until then, I'm still going to laugh at you.
Until then, go ahead, actually. I'll wait on that. All right, to actual signing news. Good news for the Broncos this time. Jordan Rickey, the boom youngster. Second row is re-signed till the end of 2024. He's really comfortable there, so he's grateful to be staying, is what he said. For Parramatta, Micah Sivo has signed a new two-year deal, and this is despite overseas interest from rugby union, similar to Semi Radradra. He wants to stay there. He's got 39 tries in 49 games, not a bad record at all. So that's a big retention there for Parramatta. Now, some good news for Manly. Amulu Olakatu has inked a new deal to stay until the end of the 2024 season. Of course, he's injured at the moment.
He's a good player, so you should be happy about that.
Yeah, he's a man mountain. He's massive.
Yeah.
He's 22.
And he can move.
He's played 7 matches for us since making his debut in 2019. And, he's in the casualty ward, which is a bit of a fashion trend down there at the moment, the last few years.
Actually, I will say that Tom Trbojevic is running at full pace now.
That's great.
Yeah. You guys, you got him running. There is actually a bet on Sportsbet you can make as it's a joke, but about how long and which bathroom he will tear his hamstring in again.
Ooh.
You can get on that, guy. That might be my value bet for tonight.
Yeah, it could be.
Which training facility at Manly will Tom Trbojevic fuck up his hamstring again?
Give you a call. 1, 2, or 3.
Or 4.
Just keeping you guys on the toes. All right. So that's the end of the off the right section from my end. Anyway, any other stories that you've... Do we talk about Des Hasler's deal is only actually a one-year deal and everything?
Yeah, it's in the KPIs. Is a performance clause?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Good on Manly. They've stepped up. I believe all coaches' contracts should be that. And to be honest, I wouldn't hate it if every player had some kind of performance clause in their contract. Not just if you make Origin, we'll give you 10 grand. There should be more.
I think it's the other way around. If I make Origin, you'll give me 10 grand.
Yeah,
how it pretty much is. That's how the players...
Well, Mitchell Pearce, if... I know this is long odds, real long odds, but Mitchell Pearce makes the grand final. He actually gets $1 million from Newcastle.
All right. No pressure. All right, we'll be back with hard hits, injuries, and suspensions.
And Moses Zembe is like $1 million.
Yes, and we're in the hard hits section. We're just talking about the money wasting at the Tigers right now. We'll get to that later. All right, so it seems like a Manly episode so far. Not good news all the way through, but they've got their fingers crossed that George Tafua will be right to go in the next 2 to 3 weeks, coming back from his Achilles injury that he suffered last season.
I think you guys will do really well with him. Just that experience and
someone who presence. Runs the ball back hard.
Yeah, and that, you know, just the presence of having him on the end of your back line, I think that'll boost your confidence. I mean, it won't, you'll definitely be a slower back line with him.
Yes, it will.
You'll have size, you'll have a guy who's willing to take the shit runs, and every so often he puts on a big hit. So I reckon he's pretty important.
It's like what Vadivai was for Warriors fans.
Hmm. Yeah, he was a cult hero and rocks and diamonds, was.
They should open a shop together.
Tafua would probably has a better consistency as diamonds and Vadivai did. Some of the games I saw that man play, but yeah, I really hope you guys get back to full strength for Trbojevic and Tafua at least on the field for you, just to see what you guys can do, because on your day you do have a bit of potential.
Yeah, thank you. Titans have lost Ash Taylor for at least 2 weeks. This one kind of snuck up on everyone. We didn't hear anything about this until late yesterday.
Got dropped.
Scans revealed he fractured his hand following the side's win. That's really bad grammar. I'm assuming he fractured his hand during the game and they found out about it after the game. He's going to join Brian Kelly on the sidelines with a similar injury. Herman Saisi could be sidelined after a nasty head clash while playing in the Intrust Super Clash. He hasn't actually played for the Titans since his move yet. It's pretty disappointing, actually. Grand final rematch this week, Storm versus Penrith, is going to be missing two of its big stars. Nathan Cleary through concussion or through a head knock, and Ryan Pappenhausen neck injury that he picked up out of last week's game are both going to be missing the grand final rematch. Big blow here for the Bulldogs. We talked about hopefully this wasn't going to be too bad. We may have jinxed it. Raymond Fatala-Marin is going to miss 5 months with a broken foot. That seems like a long time for a broken foot, so it must be pretty busted. Hopefully he can make a quicker return than that. And we mentioned earlier, Chanel Harris-Tavita is going to be missing up to 12 weeks due to a stress fracture in his foot. Seems like a lot of foot injuries already this year.
It might be the new thing now.
I don't know. And Andrew Davey, we mentioned last episode, going through and suffering the ACL injury. There's a really, I wouldn't say touching's the right word, but it really puts it into the human, into the perspective that these guys are human beings. There's a picture of him on Instagram in the change rooms after the game with his head in the jacket, basically, of assume is his dad. And it's just a devastating photo. You don't know whether he's actually crying or not. And he's got a, there's a big story on there about the path he took to get there and what the injury is going to mean. But you look at it going, he's not one of the game's big stars. He's a, but they're all just fellas and they're all living out their dream. And it's a really hard image to look at, actually.
Well, see, this guy's like a, he's a good story. Debuted late. I think he debuted like 27, 28. And he's played well. He's never taken a backward step. He's done really well. He started at Parra, moved to Manly. All I can hope is that Manly re-sign him.
He's on 3-year deal.
Oh, good. I thought he was only on a 1-year deal.
He's on 3-year.
Okay. So I hope they he gets back to playing NRL because he definitely deserves it.
Yeah. Ryan Madison's been ruled out of Saturday's clash after his concussion last week against Melbourne. And we covered Wonga Blank's going to miss a month. So, again, more big names to add to the list. Make sure you check your club's team lists. And nothing in the way suspensions out of what we covered last episode. So we'll be back after this short break with team lists and analysis going into round 3 for all 16 clubs. All right, so the first game that will be analysed going into round 3 is the grand final rematch, Penrith Panthers versus Melbourne Storm, Thursday, 8:05 local time down at Bluebet Stadium. And we covered the fact that Penrith Stadium is now called Bluebet Stadium, and that's based off that new booking agency. Is that the one where the guy's in the blue singlet and saying blue this, blue that, we're all true blue, all that sort of
I haven't seen stuff. It yet.
I'm just wondering if they're going to play with blue balls at the stadium because I just want to see the commentators get through a whole game saying that. Anyway, we're not going to use this as one of our analysis games because it's getting broken down all over the shop, as it should, a grand final rematch. We're just going to go through the big changes and we're going to do our tips. And we've both got a little bit of work to do. I'm on 11, Jared's on 9 after 2 rounds. We're both chasing Drum Kelly, who's on 15 and is leading the 6-again footy tipping comp that you can still enter over on footytips.com.au, free plug. So for Penrith, the big out here we just mentioned is Nathan Cleary. So Matt Burden has come into the side at halfback.
He better do well.
Yeah.
With all the stuff going on with him.
So obviously, Canterbury's still pushing for an early release. Penrith's not going to allow it to happen. And lucky they didn't. So they need him this week. And the other big news is, did we cover? Yeah, Coruscant out for multiple with an injury as well. So Mitch Kenny gets the start at hooker for this game. Outside of those two changes to the starting 13, Spencer Lenu, Tyrone May, Matt Eisenhuth and Liam Martin make up the interchange, but they've also included Jamon Salmon in the reserves. So,
well, that could be interesting.
Yes, he's a generally plays 5'8", I'm going to say.
Yeah, actually, he's actually been playing centre in reserve grade recently.
Well, that makes... Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, so obviously a weakened Panthers team. If you were going to pick the two most important players in that starting 13,
oh yeah,
9 people out of 10 would say Cleary and Coruscant. You could say Isaiah Yeo and kickouts. I could see them getting votes as well, but the ones who pull the strings and control the game are Coruscant and...
Someone's got to give those other blokes the ball.
Yes. I can't remember a game where they've both been missing. I know that they got with Coruscant for a bit last year.
For that reason, I'm picking the Storm in this one by a bit. They're missing Pappenhausen, which is going to be a loss, but they're actually bringing in Nicho Hynes, who's been playing for Melbourne. I think he missed last week when they brought in Smoot. Oh, no, he hasn't played this year.
He hasn't played this year.
But he played a fair amount last year as well. He's a big, tall bloke who's very... He's not the...
Fullback's his main position, isn't it?
Yeah, he plays fullback for Falcons. He's not quick, not as quick as Pappenhausen, obviously, but he's a better ball handler. So he's a second 5'8", and that's probably Melbourne known to adapt around their team. So that's probably the play position he's going to play, like the kind of fullback he's going to play. And I don't think, like, Pappenhausen's great, but I think he's a stronger replacement than Burden is to Cleary. And I think that's where Melbourne are going to win it, because they've just got, you know, next man up all the time, and it's quality who they keep bringing in.
Yeah, and we didn't mention him in the same conversation as before, but obviously Felice Kaufusi is missing this game as well. You've got representative players both sides missing, and Tom Eisenhuth comes into the starting side for Felice Kaufusi, and Aaron Penne comes onto the interchange, as does Cooper Johns. So very interesting inclusion there. Maybe as a backup hooker, I'd be assuming.
Yeah.
Smith.
I'm not sure. Ben
dropped after two uninspiring performances over the last 2 weeks. So a couple of changes to both of the big clubs here. Penrith still undefeated this year. Storm is sitting at 1-1. After going down at Parramatta last week in that very wet, very hectic game. Jared's already mentioned he's going for the Storm. I'm going to say the same, and pretty much under the same reasoning, that huge losses for both sides, but the losses for Penrith are in more key positions overall and more key personnel than I think the Storm. Obviously, someone's going to have to generate points for this, or finish points, I guess, for the Storm. You can't replace Pappenhausen's speed, but Nicho Hynes may be able to do a better job of getting early ball to the outside backs. So,
also, you mentioned Cooper Johns getting put into the 17. He's also been named at 6 for the Falcons as well.
Mm.
But Nicho Hynes has been named at 1.
Ooh.
So they released the Falcons is a feeder club, so they released their teams after the Melbourne Storm, obviously, because Melbourne Storm cherry pick who they want. It is very interesting that Cooper Johns is still named for the Falcons, but he's named in the top 17 for the Melbourne Storm.
Next, when I read this earlier today, I'm sure I saw Cooper Johns in the reserves rather than on the interchange.
Yeah.
But, because he's got number 18 next to his name, not number 17. So,
yeah, so it is interesting, but look, don't read into it too much. But, just have a think about that for a
unless
little
you've bit. Got Cooper Johns as first try scorer in either game.
Okay, next game is St. George versus Manly.
Oh, I was going to say, I am looking forward to James Fisher-Harris versus Christian Welch. Young brand. Oh,
two young firebrand versus
older firebrand. But
he's up against Bromwich as well. He got very badly beaten by Bromwich in the grand final too.
Yes, so I'm going as well on that one.
Okay, so next game is the one we're going to analyse, because there's two teams we haven't, is St. George versus Manly. So as Adam brought up, they're actually a bit of a bogey team, St. George are for Manly, quite interesting. So in the last 5 games, back all the way back to 2017, Manly's only beaten them once, and that was last 2019 at Lottoland, 34-14. So considering St. George have been struggling for a few years, that's quite interesting. I wouldn't say Manly's been top of the rung, but I would put them ahead of St. George for the last 5 years. Let's put it that way. There's no real changes for both squads. Don't see much from St. George anyway. Manly, John Schuster actually starting second row for Manly, Josh, which is quite interesting, actually.
Because he came on when Andrew Davey went off with his ACL this week and did a reasonable job. Not I want to see Schuster be playing, but the other side of things, experience is experience. And he's a 5'8 by trade, but he's a big boy. So he'll handle physicality, but I don't know how well he's going to be able to show what he can do.
Taniela Pisaka starts at 8 with Aloai dropping to the bench. And just keep an eye on this for a second. So Dylan Walker hasn't exactly lit the world on fire playing fullback. It was a steady choice to put him back there, but he's come up against two very strong teams, and I would say he's below a pass mark at fullback.
Yeah.
Morgan Harper's been named at 19. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if there was a bit of a reshuffle there, bringing Morgan Harper at one and move Dylan Walker to center and pushing out potentially Brad Parker, because hasn't been overly flash the last couple of weeks either. And I just believe that having Dylan Walker in your front line will strengthen up that left-hand side defense. I think he plays on the left, which he has played there all off season, because you can yell and scream about fullbacks missing tackles, but fullbacks shouldn't be making tackles. So he shouldn't have made half the defensive decisions he's had if their front line actually stood up to the Roosters. So if he can go up there and really steady that side of the defense, which no one seems to be taking control of the Manly's edges at all in defense. It seems like I'm ragging on Manly a lot, but I believe Dylan Walker at center could solve a lot of problems for him.
Uh-huh.
And Morgan Harper, even though I don't like him, he can play fullback pretty well.
So I was going to say, like, you're talking about Brad Parker. Des Hasler actually said after his game that Parker's been one of their best over the first 2 weeks. And he's
But I wouldn't drop Sully. Yeah.
So what interests me is Harper was named in the reserves last week, but someone who hasn't been named in the reserves till this week is Christian Tuipulotu, who's the winger that was signed from the Roosters in the off-season. So this is the first time I've seen his name in the reserves. I could see Walker going back to centre, but I could see Saab going back to fullback.
Oof.
The biggest size and generally better under the high ball. Although he did.
Is he ready for it though? Like that's a big call for that young fellow. Really was, I'd say, hesitant last year. Like he didn't really know his place when he's playing.
That's also
Dragons.
What happens when. Well, I remember Dragons last year. It was like a carousel of wingers. Who's going?
I know. This
week and
but. That's a big call against his former club. But, look, I can see it. It wouldn't be a bad idea.
I'd like maybe Saab at fullback, Walker at centre, and bring Tuipulotu onto a wing. Give him a run. See what happens.
Drop Parker.
Hmm.
Okay. My actual finger watch is
I wouldn't even mind dropping Garrick for it. It means Cherry Evans would have to kick the goals and be a fan of that.
Yeah. I'm looking at Cherry Evans versus Hunt. So two Queenslanders for this game. Hunt's finally found his running game again, which I'm super interested in. But on the flip side, Cherry Evans' best game is when he's running as well. So you probably got two of the best running halfbacks in the competition
up against each other.
If they both can find a bit of form, they'll actually make it really interesting.
And Ben Hunt started really the season a lot better than Cherry Evans has.
Yeah, but Cherry Evans, look, the biggest compliment I give that bloke is even behind a losing fullback, he gives it a crack, which not many, you can't say.
Can go missing.
Yeah, you can't say that too much. So even when, like last year, your fullback was just getting beaten a lot, and that's not even an understatement. You're getting beat. But he still was creating things off a retreating forward pack.
Yeah.
So if their forward pack can get some upper hand a little bit, he's got so much more time where he can play. But I just need him. Sorry, you need him running so much more, like Hunt did in that try last year. You need him running, and you need Foran doing what he used to do, controlling where Cherry Evans just darts around and does what he has to do. But that's what I'm really.
I did like a little bit of what I saw from Foran last week, taking the lion, which is good to see. But I really liked what I've seen out of Ben Hunt the first two rounds.
Mm.
Yeah, his old self. He looks like a bit of a pressure's off, and maybe the fact that more attention on the coach, there's more attention on Corey Norman, what's been happening there, and he's I wouldn't say flying under the radar, but there seems to be less talk around him. Talking about St. George being a bogey side for Manly, this game is at Wynn Stadium at Wollongong. Manly haven't won there since 2003. So I was in year 10. I am now.
That was through their strong period.
No. No, we weren't even that.
No, 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 no. I mean, like, that was 2008 to 2011.
Yeah.
That's where you guys were strong and you guys still didn't win it win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. I was in year 10 then. I'm now in my 8th year of teaching. So that's a long time ago.
You want to make you feel bad? I was in grade 5.
Oh, jeez. Cade Custer passed concussion protocols on 6A. Turnaround to take his place in the 17 for Manly as well. He's been named on the interchange at 14. But he did go up with a head knock injury assessment. Looking at the Dragons list, they're actually 1-17, same as last week. Now, that's not something you said at all, I think, last year with the rotation of
everyone
players, and especially in the outside back. So it's going to be, I guess it's a bit of a luxury. The Dragons are in a situation where they haven't been in for quite a while.
Well, yeah, like, we always mention how Dufty just copped it last year. It's good that he's getting actually a decent crack.
Yeah, so this is really a heart versus head one for me, because I was impressed with what the Dragons did in patches against the Cowboys, and for actually longer periods of time than the Cowboys did. And they withstood, I think, 5 sets in a row in that second half, where Cowboys had the whole crowd behind them. They were peppering them here, there, and everywhere, and Dragons just kept showing up for each other, which isn't something we've seen for a little while for them. Whereas that had Manly didn't do any of that in the first round, and again they did it for spells, and then were just ultimately beaten by a more solid and creative South side last week. When I looked at Manly's first few rounds, I was like, oh yeah, Roosters, Rabbits. Penrith, I was like, oh, that's going to be tough. And I saw St. George. I went, oh, that's actually the one I'm worried about. So going on, man.
Because you knew you were going to lose those ones, those other ones.
Oh, no. It's just Dragons being a team that, like I said, we haven't won against them since 19. The one before that was 2016. So
look, I'm actually backing Manly.
Yeah,
I reckon Manly going to build in this game.
I'm going Dragons.
Okay.
Which I don't think I've said in 2 years.
Okay. Next game. Next game is one everyone's kind of looking forward to behind the Penrith.
Oh, sorry. I didn't do the odds. So Penrith were $1.85. Melbourne Storm $1.98. So Melbourne actually outsiders. And St. George $1.73. Manly $2.10.
Okay. So this game, South Sydney are $2.35 and Roosters are $1.60. It's the rivalry game. There's every single week, there's so much supposed hate between the new two clubs. Look, they're 20 minutes away from each other. They can't hate each other that much. Come on.
They're like buddies. They're just down the
road. Yeah. In this game, so for South Sydney, the biggest change is, unfortunately, Jackson Paulo's out.
What do you mean, unfortunately, for who? For him, I guess.
For him.
Yes, in that flash last week.
He scored a try. Josh Mansell gets recalled for that reason. So it's not a pretty handy bloke to bring in.
Yeah.
For Sydney Roosters, I don't see too many changes in this squad. Do you?
Tedesco, Morris, Kiri.
Yeah.
Last suit. Crichton's back in from suspension.
Oh yeah,
that's right. And Victor Radley's back on the interchange. You crazy?
Oh yeah, so he's the one everyone's looking forward to seeing playing. Don't be surprised if he starts or whatever, but I'm guarantee you'll spend some time at lock and hooker.
Yeah, Trent Robinson said he's not afraid of getting him straight back in there. He's ready to go. He would have played last week if he wasn't still, because he still had a suspension to serve. Last season, which you couldn't do till.
So look, reality of it is, don't be surprised if you kill somebody. That's the Victor Radley. It is. Everyone's looking forward to him running on the field.
I guarantee you Freddie Fittler's going to wet his pants seeing him run on there for the first time.
Yeah.
It's the Friday night game, so Fittler's going to be amongst it. He'll probably be chasing around with a camera the whole time just to see what he does. I'm going Roosters in this game. I hope they beat him.
Yeah, this is I'm really looking forward to this game. Like, no offense to my squad, Manly and the Dragons, but they're kind of stuck in the middle of two games that are most likely going to be crackers, the Thursday night and then the late Friday night game.
Oh, yeah, no one's going to give a shit about Manly St. George with these two games around them.
Yeah, so it's like, if we do lose, it'll be under the radar, I'm hoping. But some comments from the South players during the week. They love it when Marshall comes on because they're like, it's so much easier playing when you're getting told what to do, and it, which is pretty much what Marshall does. Do keep an eye on Adam Reynolds. He's still going through the concussion protocol through the week after a big hit on him last week in the Manly.
He's got a pretty fucking handy replacement if he does get injured.
Yes, that is true. Liam Knight has still not been named in the reserves, although he's back to contact training. So I wouldn't see any other changes going into this game except for, yeah, obviously Benji Marshall going to 7 and post Moga, or it'd be probably... Oh, I don't know. They'd bring onto the bench maybe Dargan, maybe Masters, maybe Host if they go full forward. So
I wouldn't be. Bennett will come up with something. I'd be surprised if Reynolds didn't play. To be honest,
tell you what. Yeah,
I'm not overly happy. If I was the Roosters, I'd be happy with Reynolds on the field. And this isn't a crack against Reynolds. This is just the crack on how well Benji Marshall comes on and controls South Sydney. If he had was on there for 80 minutes controlling them like he has been, like, you know, if he could do that, because he plays 40 minutes cracks, if he does that for 80, they're going to look a lot better, because every time he's on the field, South Sydney looks so much better.
Yeah, they have. He's controlling but creative. It's a pretty decent mix to be bringing off the bench when most teams bring certain players off the bench purely for impact, so energy, runs, all this sort of stuff, see if you can create something. Whereas when you bring Benji on, you know 9 times out of 10 he will create something. 2 weeks, like before the start of the season, if this was round one, I'd be tipping Rabbitohs. I've still got them to win the premiership. I just think Roosters have started the season looking so much more comfortable. And Rabbitohs did in round one and lost, and they won last week against Manly, but they weren't in total control of that game as the Roosters were against Manly and as the Roosters were last week as well, albeit against the Tigers. Yeah, I'm going to go Roosters. I think there's just things are falling in place for them at this time of the season. Things could obviously change down the road, but I'm going to Roosters. If you are a fan of the Rabbits in this game, there is a bit of value around. They're sitting at $2.30 for the win, and Roosters are at $1.62. So value there for the Rabbits.
Watch out for Joey Manu. He's been very quiet around Tedesco and Morris twins. He is very quality player. And if those three have a bad game, he can just light it up. And that's just a handy replacement.
I thought he's been playing well. He hasn't been getting the tries, but he's been doing a lot of off the
ball. No, but that's the thing. Like, he hasn't been in the headlines as much as the other three. He has played well, but like he... If the other if they shut down and focus on the Morris twins and Tedesco, they've got Manu at the back who can just light up any team he wants to. So it's really good. Okay, next game we're going to be actually analysing a bit more is the Canberra versus the Warriors game. There's not that much changes. Croker is back, which is very exciting for Canberra fans.
Blah blah I'm blah.
Saying
blah.
That too. Sebastian Chris has not let the world down. So there's a story about how Jared Croker actually came up and apologized to him, because Sebastian Chris was the first one back to preseason a month before anyone else, and he's been leading the fitness for him. But Jared Croker is unfortunately Jared Croker, and he gets his spot as the captain over him. But it's a really good story about what's happening down at Canberra. As for the Warriors, Bantiafoa gets a start because Jermaine Tamil-Brown's injured.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They're walking on with, I would say, a four forwards on the bench. The Jazz to Vegas can be classed as a utility, but yeah. Other than that, there's no real changes for them. I'm actually really looking forward to the battle of the forward packs. So we keep saying that Warriors have a very good forward pack. I believe they got beaten pretty badly against Newcastle. I think Safidi killed them. But on the other side of it, they still had the potential. Like Ben Murdoch-Masilla is coming back to full form. Adam Fanua-Blake. But the Canberra forward pack, you got Papali, you got Whitehead, you got fucking Hudson Young, Tarpany. They got some very quality. And I think out of you put the two forward packs against each other, there are a lot of big hits I see in this game, because that's a lot of players who like to put on a big hit. So I'm actually looking forward to that the most in this game. And that obviously decides a lot what happens with the halves, with a debutant on the south, on the Warriors side, as we already discussed.
Yeah, and going back in history, these two squads have been pretty even. So Raiders have won 21, Warriors have won 19. I'm just looking at the last six games. Canberra, Warriors, Canberra. Like, it's just been to and fro, even in recent history. Warriors have a 25% win record in Canberra, where this one is played. This is the first game on Saturday, 2 p.m. So, should be pretty decent conditions this time of year, early afternoon down in Canberra. I love what the Canberra bench have been doing, especially, obviously, Ryan James. He started the year on fire, looking like a man who's missed 2 years and just wanting to get back and make his mark, and he's certainly been doing so. For the Warriors, Kane Evans has been named in jersey number 22. He's been nearing a return. He played 41 minutes for Redcliffe in the Queensland Cup, so just getting back his match fitness as well. But he should be ready for NRL anywhere between the next 1 to 4 weeks. So Nathan Brown's given himself a bit of leeway there. Prop Adam Fanua-Blake will be making his 100th NRL appearance in this game as well. So something for the Warriors to all rally around there. And Bailey Sirenin will be playing due to being, even though he's been in the sling earlier in the week, and we talked about that. Jared Croker coming back into the side is huge. He's not one of those impact players in that he's going to step, create a line break, all this sort of stuff. But what he brings from a leadership point of view, he's been the captain and leader of this club for years now. And he was the, I believe, youngest captain in the comp when he took over the captaincy at the Raiders. He owns a majority of the records there at the club already. And just what he brings on the field as a presence is huge. He's very sound defensively. And regardless of how talented you are as a youngster like Sebastian Chris, Jared Croker's defense is going to be an upgrade, even if he doesn't match Chris for athleticism and speed. I've got Raiders in this one. I'm not going to say easily, because Nathan Brown and the Warriors themselves aren't going to be happy with what they put out last week, just after their round one effort. And they've got what it takes to win this game. A lot of it's going to come down, obviously, on Sean O'Sullivan and Nick Arima and the partnership they strike up. I wouldn't be surprised to see Tuivasa-Sheck get his hand on the ball a bit more. If you look at that spine, and it doesn't fill you with fear with Wade Egan being there, knowing that he's struggles to get through a 90-minute game, even when not injured, and he's not, you can't say he's 100% fit based on his elbow injury. What was that from? 3-1 well in the trials. So, I don't know. It's $3.90 the Warriors are paying. Raiders are $1.26, a very short favourite. I'm going the Raiders. I've been loving what I've been seeing out of Hudson Young. I've been loving what I've seen out of Ryan James off the bench. Ryan Sutton's looking good off the bench again. Tarpany was a bit quiet last week, so he's due for a bit of a fight back. But George Williams has continued on where he finished last year, controlling the game, creating things, And you know he's doing a really decent job for his team in the fact that you haven't heard Whiten's name being thrown around as much as you have last year because he hasn't had to do as much yet, which is a good sign for Canberra. Anything else from you on this one?
No, Barry? I'm going Canberra in this, but don't be surprised if Warriors put on a fight. But in saying that too, I think Newcastle really showed the teams how to beat the Warriors if you just limit their back three, which, you know, Ricky Stewart will do. George Williams is one of the best kicking games in the comp. Limit their back three. Don't let them make as, like, 20, 30 metres like they usually do, coming off, you know, of their sets. That really restricts them. But on top of that, Warriors always have that ability to come back on teams and beat them. And last week, Canberra weren't overly flash. I think they only just won, didn't they? So Warriors could swing this. I would not be surprised. Really wouldn't.
Just having a look at a stat I pulled up here. Anfenua Blake has run for 152 post-contact meters in the first 2 weeks. So averaging roughly 75 post-contact meters a game, which is ridiculous. Pretty unsustainable for a whole season, but you're looking at Tamalolo numbers right there. So, yeah, he's really started the season on fire for his new club. Someone who would be brilliant in this game to come off the bench for Raiders would be Tom Starling to get in and around Warriors four pack. I still don't understand the logic there, but they're 2-0, and while they got away with one last week, I guess you can't really argue against that. And also Tua Vasacek versus Charles Nicoll-Klokstad, who you'd assume would be taking the fullback position for New Zealand once Tua Vasacek leaves the Union. So that's going to be a really juicy matchup there. I think we're both going Raiders in this one.
Okay, next game, Broncos versus Bulldogs. So not exactly the high quality game that everyone's looking forward to, but it'll give them both a good chance to get a win over their first win of the season. So Broncos are unchanged, but supposedly this is Croft and Milford's last chance. To be honest, I was very surprised they even got in the starting 17 of this
one. They copped a huge spray.
Yeah. Canterbury, Raymond Fatala Mariner is away, off. He's injured. That's what Adam said.
He's away. He's on
Joe holidays. Stimson comes off the bench, which is...
What happened? That's a great...
He got injured.
But he's been available for the first two rounds. I'm like...
Yeah. He is a very quality player. Like, he is solid, that Joe Stimson. We really like him.
He's origin level.
Yeah. Other than that, there's no actual changes with the Bulldogs either. So the odds on this one are... Bulldogs $2.15 and Broncos $1.70. So I'm going to try and I'm going back on everything I've said the last couple of weeks, but I reckon Bulldogs are going to win this. They're my value bet at $2.15. And I'm going to get ahead of Adam this weekend. So I'm going to put $30 on Bulldogs to win at $2.15.
So you know when you see these gambling ads and it says gamble responsibly and don't take losses? That's exactly what you're doing.
Okay, so with this one,
30 bucks on Bulldogs to win
$2.15. Yeah, wow. Look, Canterbury have the team to do it. This isn't going to be the high quality game everyone loves. It's going to be either very high scoring with really bad defense or very low scoring with very bad attack. That's how I'm seeing this one go.
Don't confuse bad attack with good defense.
Yeah, please don't. There's not much more to say. These teams are 0-2. One of them's going to get a win this weekend. One of them's going to get a reprieve.
What's the odds on a draw?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That'd be good. You have a look at that. I'm just going to go through here. Players that have been impressing me for these teams, even in losing performances, been at the game last week. Tessie Niu and Jermaine Asako. Asako is the main one. Tessie Niu started the season pretty well in a non-performing team and centres there. Xavier Coates has been okay, I guess, but I guess quiet to his standards from last year as well. Tevita Pangai is getting through work, but he still looks underdone. He was breathing pretty heavily last week. I was a bit surprised not to see Asiata get a start this week. I thought there was an opportunity to get him in there, give him a run. Corey Oates still can't get into the team on the reserves, which, hey, I'm not surprised considering his change to second row. Tom Dearden played really well in Q Cup over the weekend. He's the one putting lots of pressure on both Milford and Croft, who got ripped into by Walters after their performance. And for the Bulldogs, considering they got smacked 28-0 last week, I'm still surprised Brandon Wakeham hasn't been given a crack yet. He's not even named in the reserves this week. And he looked as though he had a little bit about him last year, that little bit of creativity out of nothing. Still surprised not to see him. And I'd still be like an Averillo, either on the wing or in the centres. I guess you can't really move Hopewadi or Cottreet, but at least on the wing, maybe over Meaney. Tupolotu Katoa gets a start for the Bulldogs this week. Jeremy Marshall-King also gets a start over Sione Katoa, who's on the bench. Jeez. Oh, I don't know. I'm going to...
I can't even see drawing there. That's not even an option.
Oh, yeah. Senator Nick Kotrick scored 5 tries in his past 4 games against the Broncos, but that was obviously playing for Canberra, which is a different beast. Payne Haas is still a week away from suspension. Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'm going to have to go the Broncos just for them being at home. I don't have any confidence in either team, but I'm going to go on Broncos because they're at home. And Bulldogs,
okay.
Big Jared's bet, I'd be assuming he's betting for them.
Yeah. Next game is Cronulla versus Parramatta. So on Parramatta's side, Ryan Madison's obviously out. The new fan favourite at Parramatta, Isaiah Papali, has absolutely been killing it. Gets a start at
second row. Put him in your fantasy team this week. He's at 100,000.
Mate, he's a weapon.
He's
so good. Because of that, Ray Stone comes onto the bench.
Who's also very good.
Jordan Rankin comes into number 18. He could be a sneaky guy to get onto the team. For Cronulla, there's no real changes in this squad. Connor Tracy goes into centre. Over Jesse Ramien. So he's not obviously... Ramien's suspended, yep. And so I was very surprised Connor Tracy got put in the centres here. Surely they have actual centres.
Well, they had Marwan Haredi last week. They had Marwan Haredi play there last week, but they weren't impressed with his output. So he's on the...
They have centres. Like, he is a 5'8".
There's Nene McDonald in the reserves.
Yeah, it's very surprising they got in there. I am going Parramatta on this one. The odds are on this one, they should be very... $3.10 for Cronulla, $1.37 for Para. I very highly doubt Cronulla can win this game. Parramatta are just going into a very strong vein of form. Their style of footy is great, and Cronulla aren't sure of themselves as of right now.
See, I don't know. Like, because I think Cronulla's played quite well the first 2 rounds, and I said only missed out on being on 2-0 due to missed conversions. In saying that, this is Parramatta at Bankwest Stadium, so it should pretty much be called the Micah Eels or the Parramatta Sevos, because he's going to score a try. You can always bank on
well,
it.
Well, look, you should put out your value bet. I think Cronulla's got a very good squad and you should never rule them out. But the way Parramatta are so free-flowing right now and their defence is way stronger. And I actually prefer Isaiah Papali in the starting squad. I'd probably have Madison and Papali instead of Lane. But Madison's injured, so he gets a start here. Like I said, never rule out Cronulla, but I think Parramatta will get the easy win this weekend. Just because they're just too good right now.
Yeah, I'd prefer to see Andrew Fifita on my interchange, even starting for Cronulla over, I agree, the Woods or Tolman. It's nice to see Billy Magoulas on the bench getting a bit of a consistent run in there as well. Like I said, this one's at Bankwest. This is a 6:35, so the last game on the Saturday. Parramatta's record there is incredible. I'm expecting them to win. I'm a huge fan of Isaiah Papali'i. I'm still surprised the Warriors let him go compared to with the players that they were signing. I think him and Katoa look to be the future of the second row at the Warriors. And I would have loved Manly to pick him up. And he's got the big afro going right now. So a bit of a flashback to Fui Fui Moi Moi days at Parramatta. So the fans are loving that. Big one here, Murata Niokore is starting in the centres. He's the one who's come in to replace Wonga Blake. So Niokore was coming off the bench for Parramatta last week. It was a bit fiery, actually.
He played pretty well.
See, and he played pretty well. He matched up in the centres against Olam last week. Olam showed him up a couple of times early, and Niokore came back quite well. So
it was a good battle.
But yeah, instead of this, you're looking at the Cronulla centres, Dugan and Tracy. So you've got an ex-fullback and a 5'8". So he might actually have some success running over whoever he matches up against. I like to see Ray Stone on the interchange. I rate him. He's good to watch. I've got Parramatta in this. I think they're going to win this through their forward pack. And then they're just going to score for fun out wide. The Sharks, while playing well, this is the sort of game where they're going to miss Johnson and his creativity and that factor, the acceleration, all that sort of stuff. And he's still a few weeks away.
Okay, next game down at Newcastle.
It's the first one on Sunday.
Yeah, so you've got Mitchell Pearce's 300th game. Hoping Newcastle can create a bit of an event for it, but we'll see how that goes. It's Newcastle versus West Tigers. Tigers are going at $3.50. Holy shit. Newcastle $1.31. Wow. Okay, so Newcastle 1-17 as of last week as well. Phoenix Crossland gets suspended. Kurt Mann comes into six. And then Tigers have had one major change, as everyone said. You've probably heard of it. BJ Leilua got dropped. Tommy Tolau comes in the centres and Asu Kapoa goes on to the wing. Look, I said that last night. BJ Leilua is too slow, so I'm not surprised. And yeah, other than that, they got no real changes in their squad. I'm looking at Newcastle for a bit of an easy win here.
I like what I've seen out of Jacob Little to start the season. I really hope he continues to do what he's been doing. Without injury, he's been a sneaky little play in fantasy, and he's found the try line the first two rounds, and he's looking quite composed. Actually, I've been really impressed with his play. James Tarmo, this is a week where he really needs to stand up. He's got a big forward pack to come up against. He's the new captain of the club, and he's their forward leader. So this is really the game after getting spanked last week and embarrassed, frankly. He needs to stand up to Clemmer. He needs to stand up to Saifidi and get these young guys going and get them going with him, because Frizzell and Barnett are running with aggression and passion right now, and Connor Watson is having a ball out there. I'm going to agree with Jared. I've got the Knights winning this one. I'd be less surprised, I think, than Jared of Tigers bringing an upset. You just never know which week it's going to be for the Tigers. Every time you come up against them, if they've been on a three-match losing streak, you look through their team and you're like, well, Luciano Leilua was scoring tries for fun last year. Adam Dewey can do something on his day. We know what James Roberts can do with his speed. Norfolk Loomis is a try-scoring freak. So you just hope it's not going to be your week. Thomas McKaylee on the interchange, I'd prefer to see him starting over someone like Zane Musgrove, but Zane Musgrove is going to bring aggression, so I can kind of see the understanding there. It's just whether he can harness it, because that's what got him suspended last time. Russell Packer and Michael Cheekham, both in the reserves. Again, Cheekham, someone who I believe should be getting a bit more of a run early in the season, especially based off the Tigers' form that they've shown so far. Yeah, so we've both got Knights in this one. It's not going to be on my most watch list over the weekend, but there should be plenty of points in it if that's your thing. I prefer a bit more of an even contest between attack and defense. You never know what's going to happen, but this just has a feeling of one where if Knights hold onto the ball like they did last week and like they've been doing for quite a while now, they should be able to control the game and come away with the 2 points. Okay, and the last game of round 3, preview is another Queensland derby, Cowboys versus Titans, 5:15, Queensland Countryback Stadium up in Townsville on Sunday. And here's a fun fact. Titans are the only Queensland team with a win in 2021. So
it's not remotely embarrassing
that all Cowboys are going to get their first win of the season. Cowboys are at $2.75. Titans are at $1.46. Changes for both teams. Cowboys Felt is suspended for a couple of weeks, so Murray Talagi gets a start, which I'm quite excited about. Really rate this fella. I still love the look of the Cowboys back line. I hope Jake Clifford just reins it in a little bit. Still stay involved, but I think, like I said, he's just trying to push a little bit too much too often. In the forward pack, Cohen Hess retains his starting position. I would have liked to see either Lachlan Burr or even Josh Maguire in the starting squad, because Maguire was very good off the bench last week. Francis Molo, Jordan McLean remain up front as well. But you've got Ben Hampton and Peter Holler in the reserves. I think Cowboys are screaming out for someone like Ben Hampton right now. Where I'd put him in, I'd probably put him in the halves with Morgan and put Morgan more into a controlling halfback and role and just let Hampton do the running. But that's not going to be the case this week. At least he's in the reserves. For the Titans, obviously, Ash Taylor is out. Tanner Boyd's getting the start at 5'8".
He's rate that, man.
Bench. The rest of their back line stays the same. Corey Thompson's looked quite good. First couple of rounds, always flies under the radar as he flies under tackles. The forward pack remains the same for the Titans. On the bench, Tyrone Peachey, Lasone, Jolliffe, and Clark as well. This is going to be a good game. If the Cowboys can roll over the form they showed last week in the patch, especially in the second half against the Dragons, and if the Titans do what they did last week against the Broncos, this should be a damn good game to finish the weekend. What impressed me last week were Titans were in an arm wrestle against a team that they were expected to beat. And then in the last 20 minutes of the first half, they put on 22 points and the game was done then. And it'd be interesting if they do that against the Cowboys.
You know what I'm really looking forward to? AJ Brimson versus Scott Drinkwater. AJ Brimson obviously debuted for Queensland, Caleb Ponga being injured. Absolutely lit the world up playing for Queensland. He hasn't actually got to those heights this year yet. He definitely has that potential.
Oh, yeah.
I think that Scott Drinkwater, he has not found, he's showed glimpses of absolute brilliance, but he has not found consistency yet in his NRL career, which he needs to do to light up this Cowboys attack. He has the potential to be better, if not just as good, if not better than AJ Brimson. He is a really fucking good player, Scott Drinkwater. So that's what I'm hoping, that they both just play to their full potential and they both get some space to show what they can actually do. That's what I'm really looking forward to. I'd say that in open field, I rate Brimson higher, but with ball in hand, I'd put Drinkwater ahead of Brimson. But they've both got so much potential. I really hope they can light up this weekend. And as you said, Sunday Arvo, Queensland Derby, what's not to like about that? That's awesome.
Oh, when you're saying that they both need space, space is something that Titans didn't give the Broncos last week. And it might be the main reason why Croft and Milford were caught running sideways so often or chancing their hand. Like, I remember Milford running it on a fifth and last and literally just run himself into a swarm of Titans players because he thought he saw a hole and a chance to do something different because what they'd been doing wasn't working. I don't know if I agree with the ball in hand play. Brimson's got quite a good sleight of hand. His long passing game, I haven't seen enough of yet to really rate it, but I agree with Drinkwater and his talent. He seems like, I put him in the same boat as Cherry Evans with how they've started the year in that they're trying to do too much, whether he's feeling pressure from Valentine Holmes, whether there's actually pressure there or not. Valentine Holmes had a really good game last week. He got quite involved off the wing. He scored a fullback's try where he grubbed through and scored himself right next to the post. It was one of the best games since he's returned to the NRL. I think Drinkwater just needs to believe in himself. entrust his game instead of trying to imprint himself on the game or imprint his game on the match and just let it more come to him. He just seems to be trying too hard at the moment. Titans have got a 5-game winning streak going into this match. Cowboys are a bit hit and miss. Looking at their overall head-to-head, Cowboys have won 16, Titans have won 9. But Titans haven't won up in Townsville since 2012. So you're looking at almost 10 years without a win up there. So that's going to be something that Titans will have to get around if they want to achieve victory here. Ash Taylor being out, while he hasn't started 100% out of the gates, he's been controlling the game quite well. Him and Fogarty have got a really solid partnership. His kicking game's been off. It'd be interesting to see what Tanner Boyd brings to the table. They're different players.
He's got a way better kicking game.
Tanner Boyd?
Tanner Boyd has a better kicking game. He's got a very solid kicking game. That's probably his number one asset.
Oh, very cool. I haven't seen enough of him in Q Cup or anything like that to really be able to judge that. I know that he's a quicker player, especially off the mark. So if any of the Cowboys players run up to put pressure on him, there could be space in between, in and behind their line.
Also, yeah.
Similar to what AJ Brimson could do.
He's a very strong player too. Very strong.
Yeah, we saw that last week actually in a couple of the tackles. So Titans' errors over the first two rounds have been pretty bad. They're actually ranking second on the table with 30 errors over 2 weeks, just one behind the Cowboys. So, and Brisbane being the third worst. So this is not the best stats to read out if you're a Queensland supporter. And they're second in ineffective tackles with 43, only behind Parramatta with 47. So
yeah,
I find that surprising for the Titans considering their forward pack are big hitters, but not people you'd usually put near the top of your list for missed tackles. I'm going the Titans because they haven't given me a reason not to go for them. They were beaten in round one by the Warriors, but they still played well and they won the game that they should have won last week. And this is another game that they should win if they've got top eight aspirations. Obviously, Cowboys need to get their first win on the board if they want to get their season started. I just don't think this is the game. I think without Taumalolo and Fifita and Tino coming back the other way, I don't know if they're going to have the strike power in the forwards to match it. And while they've got talent across the board in the back line, they haven't clicked like the Titans have clicked. Yeah, maybe not in the first 2 weeks, but definitely at the end of last year and the points that we know that they can put on the board. So I'm going Titans in this.
Yeah, so for me, I'm actually going Cowboys in this one. More of a hope for me. So we talk about attack, but on their defense, so against Penrith, who on par with probably Roosters and South Sydney are probably the strongest attacking teams in the competition. And then you add that to Cowboys drop ball. When they played against each other, I reckon 70-80% of that first half, Cowboys were attacking Cowboys line. Penrith were attacking Cowboys line.
Mm.
And it was only 8-0 at halftime. So you look at this, and don't forget, Penrith for full strength. You look how good their attack is. That for Penrith, for Cowboys, geez, I'm struggling. Cowboys to hold out Penrith only 8-0 in the entire half with that amount of possession is insane. And it was only because they kept shooting themselves in the foot trying to get out. But as soon as they dropped that ball, Penrith picked it up. They rallied, set the defensive line, and that's a very hard team to hold out after 5 minutes, let alone about 30 minutes of attacking their line. So I believe that they do have the defense to hold out any team in the competition if they can do that with Penrith, but their attack needs to be.
How long are you going to be willing to bet on a team that's having to defend that much because they keep dropping the ball? The defense is well and good, but if they keep giving the other team up,
if they can hold out, when they got down there, they looked all right. until it got in the hands of Jack Clifford, to be honest. That's a bit of a...
You don't want your halfback touching the ball in the attacking area.
Exactly. But I think that Titans have a worse attack than Penrith does. And yeah. if all they have to do, they had a better completion rate last week. They just have to continue on that trend of increasing their completion rate and just get down the other end so they can attack. And that I think their defense can actually hold out a lot of teams, but they're obviously gassed by the end of this Penrith game. I actually got a lot of respect for that Cowboys team after against Penrith. I think
they're trending in the right direction. I still think they're a couple of steps away. And yes, they've got a better attacking team, Penrith, but Titans score in different ways. And whether your better teams over the last few years have generally scored predictably, but they're just so good at what they do that it's hard to stop it. Like you look at the Roosters back line and give it to Morris, Tedesco, etc. You can almost see what they're going to do before, and sometimes you actually can, but you still can't stop it. Same with Melbourne and then going back to Manly before that. And then with Penrith last year as well. So whereas Titans haven't got to that level, so they're still looking to score in different ways. And sometimes that can actually be harder to defend because it's less predictable.
I know this can't happen, but Jesus Christ, if Tamalolo was fit, him versus Famasuli in that middle would have been epic.
That would be epic.
But yeah, that's our wrap of preview of round three
this year. So usually we would do our best bets. Jared already did his. He jumped in, but that's fine. He's got $30 at Bulldogs to win at $2.15. So he's starting at $70. He could drop down to $40, and we're only 3 weeks in. We started with $100. I'm on $110. I'm putting $10 down on a multi this week. I've got Latrell Mitchell to score against the Roosters. And I've also got that game as a draw at halftime with Roosters to win at full time.
Jesus Christ, what is that going at?
$43.
Put some more money on it. Grow a pair.
Well,
you can win for the entire year if you just put, you know, 50, like 20, put $20 on it. That'll bring you down to $90.
I was considering it. I was just waiting to see what you did. And I was like, well, if I even get mine and you lose yours, I've got a 100-something point gap anyway. So
100. No, you'll have gap anyway. You'll have $400.
No. Oh, yeah, we'll too.
You will have $400. You'll have $800 if you win that. It's only $20. You'll only be on $90.
Yeah, no, I'm going to see it $10 at $43. I'm pretty confident. The Roosters, well, no, I'm confident enough with the Roosters winning. I'm confident enough with Latrell Mitchell scoring. It's the halftime being a draw that is the thing that puts it at a higher odds. So that's what
I'm... Put some more money on it, you woman.
No, I'm good. I don't chase my losses. I gamble responsibly, as the ad tells me to do after it tells me to spend my money. That's everything from me this week. You got anything to...
None.
There, Jared. So just to recap, Jared's tips this week: Melbourne, Manly, Roosters, Raiders, Bulldogs, Para, Cowboys.
Knights.
Seven. Knights. That's the one I forgot. And my tips for this week: Melbourne, St. George, Roosters, Raiders, Broncos, Para, Titans, Knights. We've actually got three different this week. Which is quite juicy. You need to catch up, so I'm hoping that mine wins so I can pull away and hoping that we can both catch up to Drum Kelly. All right. We will chat to you guys Monday morning. After recording Sunday night. Really hope you enjoy your weekend. Stay safe. Enjoy your footy. Good luck to you. Good luck to your club. Good luck to your teams. And see you soon.
See you.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio. Be sure to check out Adam's craft beer choice of the week.